graciously moved in our lives and hearts, that we come together in fellowship and to be fed that heavenly manna. But before we start, let's commit our time into the Lord's hands. Praise God. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you first loved us and you found us in the state that we were in. But Lord, you have made us right in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, you have put a new song within our hearts. You have put a joy and peace that the world cannot give. And Father, you have said, I will be with you always. And thank you, Lord, that we are never, ever out of your sight for one second. You are a great, mighty, heavenly Father. And Lord, we love you very much. And we pray that you will just touch our lives and our hearts as we open our minds and hearts to be fed your word now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I have a title this evening that I believe the Lord has given us to examine and look at, and that is God Keeps Us Moving On. God Keeps Us Moving On. And indeed, he does. The same as he kept the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt, he kept them moving in the desert through the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And wherever they camped, they only camped for a season, and then he continued to move them on. And God does that with us. But of course, he does it now spiritually. He does everything in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. But he's not going to let us remain stagnant or static or lost or whatever it's going to be. If we truly love the Lord and we keep our eyes upon him, he's going to continue moving us forward. I have a scripture here for us to look at this evening, which we all know well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. And with this, in the context of what the apostle is talking about here, he's talking about this new covenant that we have and the glory of this new covenant, and how the Holy Spirit has now come working with us under a better promises, under a better covenant. Everything is better, and we're being changed from glory, into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. So we need to keep that in mind, that everything is now better than under Moses. And even though they were blessed and God was working with them in the way that he was, we're in so much better now, and a better covenant, a better position in every way. Praise God. So it says here, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. He says, by the same Spirit, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that led him in his ministry and all that he did, is the same Spirit that works with us both individually and corporately. And into that same image, from glory to glory, the image of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. So we need to keep that in mind when we talk about today, God keeps us moving on. Now, we know, because we've looked at this before, but I'll just go over this again for those who are not quite familiar with this verse, where it speaks about the mirror of glory. We're being transformed into the same image. We have that Greek word metamorphero, which simply means to change in another form. In other words, you are not what you used to be. You say goodbye to your old life that once was. And now the Holy Spirit's work is to continue changing you or transforming you. And we know a little bit about this. Here is this same word, this idea, in Matthew 17 and verse 2. 17 and verse 2, where Jesus is transfigured on the Mount of Olives. And in verse 2 it says, "And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." So our Lord, in his flesh, experienced that being transformed, that changing. And the Holy Spirit that wrought that through him, with the disciples seeing what they saw, is the same Spirit that is working with us individually and corporately, and with the bride that's making herself ready. This same word being changed into another form. Let's turn also to something familiar in connection with this in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 2. Well, let's take it from verse 1. We know this well. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Here it is in verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So the mind, this new mind that we have in Christ, that we have the mind of Christ, is worked upon, is transformed by the renewing of the mind. Again, this same word, metamorphero, which is to transform, to change. And that is what is happening to us. He's changing our mind. He is changing our thinking. He is changing our attitudes. The deliverance starts in the mind to get to the heart. And this is what he's doing, so that we may prove, or we will know, what is right, what is acceptable, that we may know the perfect will of God, that we walk in faith and obedience. If the Holy Spirit doesn't do that, we will never come to that standard that God desires and wants. And another word that we have back in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we've already looked at transformed. There's another word here, the same image from glory to glory. So we have the word glory here. What does this mean? Well, it means doxa in the Greek, and it means something that is excellent. It speaks of dignity. It speaks of grace. It can also be a state of an opinion, whether it be good or bad. Whereas, of course, with regard to Almighty God, when we use the word glory, we're talking about absolute perfection of deity. So that is where we're coming from with regard to glory. And we are conformed and being changed into the likeness of Almighty God. The perfection, the deity of Almighty God, his glory, is working also upon us. For example, we have some scriptures just to back this up. For example, in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. So Satan was showing all the world, the kingdoms and their glory to Jesus. But he didn't fall for that deception, that lie. We're still using that understanding, that word. Also in Matthew 6 and verse 13, where it speaks in the Lord's Prayer, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." So God, in our prayers, our intercessions, we ask him not to lead us into those temptations, but to deliver us from the evil one, from the devil himself. How many of us make that prayer an intercession? Lord, deliver me from the devil. Deliver me from his ways, his deceptions. Help me. Have mercy over me. I don't think we do that very often, do we? We're all the while crying, "Lord, get him off my back." But hear what it's saying in this outline of this great prayer that Jesus gave. Why do we say all this? "For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen." That is what tells us that nothing is impossible with God. For he is all glory, he is all power, he is all dominion. All the kingdoms belong to him. We need to remind ourselves at times of these great verses. And of course, turning to Matthew 16 and verse 27. Matthew 16 and verse 27. "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." Again, this word, glory, that we're looking at, he says he's going to come with his glory, the glory of his Father and the angels, and he comes with his rewards, because our Heavenly Father is so merciful, so gracious, so giving, so rewarding. That is what he says. And Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the right throne of his glory." So everything is glorious about God that we're beginning to understand. Now, it is the same word that I have given just a few scriptures here, and there are myriads of scriptures talking about God's glory in the Bible, but it's that same word, doxa, that is the same here, back in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Why do we doubt what God did through Jesus Christ, that with us it's somehow different? It's only unbelief and hardness of heart that makes us think like that. We believe the devil's lie. But I have shown you from the scriptures the very Spirit that worked through Christ, raising him up into glory, is the very same Spirit who's working with you and I, even right now in this meeting, as he ministers to us by the Holy Spirit. Being under a better covenant, better promises. Everything is better. Yet we still take so much convincing, don't we? You see, God's glory is instrumental to our belief. We need to experience the glory of God. We need to experience this being changed, this being transformed for our faith that pleases him. For example, let's turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 2 and verse 11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So this glory that we also share, that is changing us, convinces us. It encourages us to believe on him, to believe on his word. But if you're not experiencing this change, then you're going to find it very difficult believing. And you're going to have problems, hindrances. Because it says they believed. It spoke to them. No, they didn't have the word of God preaching to them. We know that faith comes by hearing. Here they saw with their eyes. They saw the glory of God through Jesus Christ, the miracle, and they believed in him. And that was enough for them to follow him. And so we see, for our faith, we're talking at the moment about our belief here, our faith. We see in Romans 4 and verse 20, Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That, of course, is speaking about faithful Abraham. So the glory of God working through Abraham was very instrumental in him believing the promises of God through trial, doubts, whatever. And he did, because he was human, just like we are, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So he was, our strengthening of faith, our belief glorifies God, which we need also in our lives. That's changing us more and more into his likeness. There's far, far more, brothers and sisters, about this believing in faith than we actually realise, and what it's actually doing for us. We also see in Romans 5 and verse 2, where faith overcomes through trials and tribulations. And it says here, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have access by faith. It's by faith into his grace and mercy. His grace and mercy doesn't just automatically switch itself on. It works by our faith as we believe in him. As we stand, it says, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we rejoice in his glory. We rejoice in what he's doing, how he's changing, transforming us into the image of his son. All of this spurs us, encourages us, or at least it's supposed to do. And Romans 6 verse 4, with regard to being a new creation, it says here in verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that Jesus as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, so we likewise walk in that same glory in our new life. Do you expect that glory in your life? Do you expect to see Jesus? Do you expect those miracles, the greater works that are coming? Is there that expectation within your hearts? Because it should be, if you are experiencing and tasting this glory. This is what changes us, brothers and sisters. This is what causes us to move on. Some of us have become stale and stagnant, which opens the door to spiritual depression and inward looking. These are all encouragements to keep us moving forward as Christ is moving forward. And it's interesting, as we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, he says, but we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror. So this idea of veiled, well, this veil is removed. This veil, as we see, is removed through Christ, through rising from the dead. Now that we have received the Holy Spirit, that Christ now dwells in us, this veil that the children of Israel had, this veil over them, they only saw in part. We now see the glory of God because we experience that glory as we turn to Christ and him only. It tells us also back that not only with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Well, we see God's glory through a mirror. We cannot see his glory perfectly. If we were to see the glory of God, we would all be burnt up. We couldn't take it. but we see in part, and that is enough. That is what is needed. And it speaks about this glory. It's connected also with a mirror. Beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord. Well, it's interesting that mirrors in ancient times were made of polished metal. But they gave a sort of cloudy, fuzzy appearance. They didn't give the appearance that we have today as with mirrors. They were like polished metal. But they had a slight cloudy, fuzzy appearance. And this is what the apostle is describing here. It somehow slightly distorted the image. But we can see his glory, but we don't see it in its absolute perfection. Meaning the experience of that glory. We see, of course, the perfection of glory as we acknowledge Christ, as we follow him, as we believe upon him. But in our earthly state, we are being transformed, we are being changed from glory to glory. It is a process, it is a working. There is only so much in our flesh that we will experience of this. And then we have to be translated, taken up for the rest. So we are being transformed. And God always starts, doesn't he, with this transforming work in the heart, in the inner man. We so often want it in the flesh, don't we? But he starts in the heart every time. In other words, he isn't making us, brothers and sisters, into nice, respectable people. He's making us holy, perfecting us. Yes, of course, we're to be nice, we're to be kind and everything, but that is not ultimately the work which we're brought up with our parents that they want us to be. They want us to be nice people, to be respectable, to be polite, gracious and so forth. And all of that, of course, has its place. But that is not really the work of the Holy Spirit. It's much deeper than that. He's making us holy people. We are all, aren't we, crying out for these changes. To be in the likeness of Jesus, to deliver me in this area, to help me in weaknesses and so on. But you see, these real changes come when we are transformed. That is when these changes come. This is what it's talking about here. This is how we move on with God, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That is your deliverance. That is what is really changing us. It is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, and he has come baptizing us to do that work. This is the Father's will, that he will be glorified, to transform you, to change you into his likeness. And he's going to do this. If you stay with him and you endure to the end, which we're to do, whether you like it or not, that is what he is going to do in your life and my life. And that is where these real changes come. These changes come when we are changed, we're being transformed, and we spend that quality time with him. You see, so often we come before the Lord because of guilt or sin. We need to repent, which has their place, and we are if we've sinned. But it doesn't match up to being changed. Yes, if you sin, then confess. That is what we're told to do. But that isn't necessarily going to really change you. What is changing you is verse 18, where you're being changed, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this transformation is deep and lasting. Do you find at times you're battling in areas, you've come over and over and over and over again before the Lord? How much longer, Lord? I'm fed up with bringing this sin before you. You must be sick and tired of hearing this. Yes, we've all gone through this. We know this experience. But what we're talking about here is a transformation that is deep and everlasting. It's changing. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he's doing this with the sons of God, as we're being changed from glory into glory. You say, well, I don't know whether this is happening in my life. It is, if you spend that quality time with him. He uses another word, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now, this idea of beholding is to make one careful, to study. It is something that we look to, we spend time with, we make a study. In other words, we take it seriously, this beholding. It's interesting, isn't it, that we all study something in our lives. Very often it's the wrong things that we spend a lot of time on. And yet, he's the one that we should be studying, spending time with, getting into the Word, seeking him, walking with him, and in prayer, intercessions and so forth. That is what it means here. So as we study his glory, so we are changed. That is precisely what we're doing tonight. We're studying about the glory of God. And that glory changes us. That mirror we look at is not what we see, but what we are to become. And that's the promise. You may be looking in that mirror and at times you're not happy with what you see, but that is a lie, because we're being changed from glory into glory. You know, the devil is very, very active with regard to what I'm talking about, the glory of God, us being changed from glory into glory. There is a lot of sickness, sadly a lot of sickness in the house of God, but certainly out in the world. And there is a major problem that I believe that Satan is really using in society today. Now, psychologists call this problem desmorphic disorder. This desmorphic disorder, or in other words called BDD, is an illness, or it's a demon, I believe, that causes people to believe that they're deformed, they're ugly. They wish to change themselves. They wish to change their appearance. And they call this dysmorphic disorder. And I believe this is a huge problem that we're having in society. People now want to change their image. They want to change how they look. They want to change their sex. They want to put marks all over their bodies, tattoos. They look in a mirror and those demons lie. They cannot see what they're really looking at. And this is a huge problem. And psychiatrists will even tell you this, that all of this is on the increase. Many young people, particularly girls, they're held in bondage because they hate the way they look. And they can't bear to even look at themselves in a mirror. These are demons at work. And this is becoming epidemic. Now, why am I stressing all of this? Well, we've already been talking about looking in a mirror. And we're being changed. And we can confidently look in the mirror because what is being reflected is God's image. It's not about your reflection. It is about the glory of God that is working in and through you. That is what God is looking at. And these poor people in this world, held in these lies, gripped by these demons. And I think this is why suicidal is getting epidemic. Even government know that this is a huge problem. And they're trying to get the NHS to help out more and more in this. But it's too big. It costs too much. It can't be done. And we know that psychiatry never goes to the root of a problem. Because we know these are demons at work. But we, as born-again believers, we reflect God's image. Hallelujah. And as I bring this to a conclusion, let's turn to Romans 8, 29. Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now there we are. He was predestined. He was conformed in the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestinates, those he calls, and those who he calls, he justifies, and those who he justifies, he also glorifies. That is your destiny, brothers and sisters. And that is why we're being worked upon. That is why we have the wonderful analogy of the clay and the potter working on these earthen vessels. And what is the progress? What is it? To bring many sons to glory by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So you see, he's moving on you. And that is why you cannot stand still. That is why he will not let you rest. Because he's working on you and I. He's changing us from glory into glory. You are not how you appeared even 6 months ago. You have changed if you are walking in faith with the Lord. And this change is healthy. This change is what we should be experiencing and expect and see. This is what is producing sons in these last days. Everyone has the potential, born again, to be transformed, to be changed. But some start to dig their heels in, just like the children of Israel did. Had enough. I don't like these trials anymore, and so on. But you see, if we behold the glory of God, And we're allowing the Holy Spirit to change, to transform us. Then everything else is so secondary. I am convinced this is what kept our Lord moving forward, setting his face as a flint towards Jerusalem, where he knew he was going to be crucified. Because he walked in the presence and the glory of his Father, and his Father was glorifying him. And God is going to glorify you and me as well. And to experience that, we need to walk with him 24/7 in that unbroken fellowship. It is absolutely vital. Don't try and work out how God does this or will do this. Just believe and expect he will do this and is doing this. That is why I say so often as I close now, you are not your own. You have been bought with a great, great price. Now glorify him in your consecration. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know how to speak to us. You always know the right word at the right time so that we can not only hear it, but experience it. And like all the teaching, but particularly what we've heard today, Father, it is to be experienced. Father, we desire your glory. The very glory that worked through Jesus Christ is the same glory ministered to us by the Holy Spirit, transforming, changing us into your likeness. This is why we're not the same. This is why it's no good, Father, looking back over old things or things of the past. You're the God of today, of the now. Help us, Lord, to move into that and experience that so that we keep up with you. Thank you, Father, that you give us fresh manna every time we come and share and fellowship. And so, Lord, I pray that you will bless, preserve, and always keep my brothers and sisters. May this word be their experience. May they know that consecration, that walk, that fellowship with you. And Lord, help us to look up as our redemption draws near. To look up, to look away from this world and behold the kingdom of God and his glory. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God.
Shall be filled, and every brought low.